You'll take your Bibles this morning. Let's go to 1 John chapter 5. First John chapter 5, I want to read verses 1 through 13. First John chapter 5, verses 1 through 13. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood, and it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit, and the water, and the blood, and these three agree in one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we do thank you for the truth of your word. Thank you, Father, that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We thank you, Lord, that you have not made it obscured for people to put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. You've not made it a secret on how to get to heaven, but Lord, you have openly displayed your plan of salvation, and we thank you for it. Thank you, Father, it's so easy to know whether or not we are the children of God, whether or not to know we're saved, whether or not to know we're born again, whether or not to know that heaven is our home or not. And Father, we thank you for just your record. Your word has given us the truth, and we thank you for it. And we thank you the Holy Spirit guides us into all truth. Jesus said the Comforter would come, and that he would guide us into all truth. And we thank you for the Holy Spirit of God that resides within every child of God, every born-again believer who's put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Father, I ask that you would please guide us through this hour. I pray that you'd speak to the hearts of the children. Help them to learn the Bible lesson in junior church just as they learned it in Sunday school. I pray, Lord, that you would continue to minister to those little hearts, Lord, helping them to understand that Jesus is the best friend they can ever have, and he's the one that will guide them through their life if they'll put their faith and trust in him. Pray, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts as well this morning. Lord, as we sit here, Father, we do want to hear from you. We want to be guided by you. Father, we want to walk away being encouraged, being challenged, being convicted. Lord, whatever your will is for us today, whatever you have for us, Father, we sit here with open hearts, wanting you to speak to us. And Father, we ask that you would receive all honor, glory, and praise, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This morning's message comes from a conversation I had just this past week with somebody. And we were talking, and some other religions had come up in our conversation. I would say probably just one other religion came up in our conversation, a religion that teaches that Jesus is not God. And you may already know what denomination that is, but thinking about just that statement, because this person grew up going to church. He grew up knowing a little bit about the Bible, and when this person come knocking on their door, he invited them in. And for about a year, he had a Bible study with them. Everything was going fine, he said. And, you know, there was a lot of truth to what they were saying. And then one day, the man that had been invited in to this other man's home, the man that was doing the Bible study, teaching this Bible study, made the statement that Jesus is not God. And the man who, I'll say, owned the home, invited the Bible teacher in, knew that was not true, totally disagreed with the man. The Bible study was cut off, and for good. Now, as we talked about it, we both understand, me and this other man, as we talked this past week, we understood that Jesus is God. But I also understand there are many people that do not believe Jesus is God and do not even believe there is a God. And that there are some that even, as I've heard recently, that there is someone who believes that you will find out if there is a God after you die. And we understand, as the Bible teaches us, it's too late then. Once you take your last breath, if you've never put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, it's too late. There's not a balance in heaven that's going to weigh our good and evil. And if our good outweighs the evil, God allows us into heaven. Because the Bible tells us all our righteousness is as filthy rags. The only righteousness that God accepts is the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And every person that's clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ, having put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, they're the ones that will be allowed into heaven because they've been saved. Because they have put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. But chapter 5, because me and this other person, we talked about 1 John chapter 5 and just the truths in it and the fact, again, God is never, he's never obscured with the way of salvation. Remember, Jesus plainly said that he was the way of salvation, that no man could enter into the Father's presence, no man could come unto the Father except by him. He said he was the door, he was the life, he was the truth. And this morning I just want to encourage you in your faith and in your relationship with Christ and to remind us that just because someone is religious, just because someone attends church, just because someone may pray, if they do not believe that Jesus Christ is in fact God, and that Jesus Christ is the only way of salvation, then the Bible clearly tells us they are not saved. They are wolves in sheep's clothing. They're leading people astray. Because religion never saved anybody. Jesus Christ does. I want you to see this morning, though, in verses 1 through 3 of 1 John chapter 5, and we're going to get down to the meat of this in just a moment. But I want us to see that as you have Christ in your life and as you walk with the Lord, there is a love that you will have for the things of God. In 1 John chapter 5, look at verses 1 through 3. The Bible says, "Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him." Again, that's simply saying everyone that loves God loves Jesus as well. Remember, Jesus told his disciples back in John chapter 14, he said, "If you believe in God, believe in me also." Many people believe in God, but they do not believe in Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is the one that makes up the gap. He's the one that allows us to even have a relationship with God because he is the Son of God. In verse number 2, "By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous." Now, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We know that all scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be fully furnished, thoroughly furnished. Now, this person was telling me this past week that this Bible teacher was even using scripture to prove that Jesus was not God. Now, it is true, you can take scripture and you can twist it, and you can take one verse out of the Bible and have it say whatever you want to say to match up with what you believe. But when you take the whole counsel of God, it proves that Jesus is God, that There is a Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They're all one, as we're told in 1 John chapter 5. But I also want you to see in Psalm chapter 19. Go to Psalm chapter 19. Because from the very beginning of mankind, mankind's adversary came to the Garden of Eden, that beautiful, perfect place that God had created for Adam and Eve to dwell in, and convinced them with the Word of God that God did not mean what he said. Remember, the devil came there to Eve back in Genesis and said, "Yea, hath God said," right off the bat, trying to even start Eve on that road of disqualifying God's word, not taking God's word as what he said, but you need to figure out what God meant. God says what he means. None of us would like for someone to take what we say, change it, "Oh, well, this is what you mean." No, I said what I meant. And God always says what he means. And obviously back in the Garden of Eden, man, Adam and Eve, disobeyed God. They ate the fruit because they listened to the wrong interpretation of God's word. God had already said, "Don't eat the fruit lest you die." And yet they were convinced that they wouldn't die and that the fruit was good to look upon. It was good for food. It was good to make us wise. Why wouldn't God want them to have food and to be wise? Well, God had already given them an entire garden of fruits and vegetables to eat, and he said, "This one, don't eat it." So we got to be careful that we don't just take one verse out of Scripture and build our faith upon it and build our life upon it and try to say what it's not saying. We've got to take Scripture as a whole, all of Scripture, the context of it, to see what God is saying. Now there, I'll say this, there are verses in the Bible that can stand all on their own. John 3:16 can stand all by itself, and so can 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 13. But you've got to look at Scripture completely. Don't take something and say, "Well, you know, this is what God means." Psalm 19. Again, I want us to think about what John is saying back in 1 John chapter 5 in those first three verses. He's saying that love makes God's commandments not grievous. All right, you're in Psalm 19. Let me read 1 John 5, verse 3 again. "For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous." If you have the love of God flowing in your heart and your life, then the things in God's word are not grievous. The things that God tells us to do and not to do, they're not grievous. Living the Christian life really is not grievous. It's really not grievous. It's not oppression. If God tells us, you know, don't do drugs, don't drink alcohol, don't ruin your life, don't put things into your body that's going to destroy your body, that's God watching out for us. That's God loving us. In Psalm chapter 19, look at verse 7 through 11. "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart." Notice what the psalmist is saying. Notice what David is saying in these words about God's word. He says, "The law of the Lord is perfect." God's word is perfect, converting the soul. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. The Bible tells us exactly how we can know if we are saved and on our way to heaven. The Bible tells us that God loved us so much that he sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross for our sins, all right? So the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise is simple. We read in Scripture all the things that God did for his people, and we are sure that God is God Almighty. There's no other God beside our God, the creator of the heaven and the earth, and we know that God will give us wisdom. Verse 8, "The statutes of the Lord are right." God's word's right. There's no error in it. "Rejoicing the heart." How many times have you opened up your Bible and started to read and you felt encouraged? You felt loved by God? It just seemed like whatever bad day you were having did not compare to the love you were receiving from God. Because as a child of God, when you have Jesus Christ is your Savior, when you open God's Word, there's just something about it. It's something about reading God's Word. It's not, I'm not reading a novel. I'm not reading a manual to put something together. I mean, I hear God speaking to my heart. And I see God encouraging me in the things that He has in His Word for us. Lives that were changed by the power of God. Lives that were accepted in the Beloved because of Jesus Christ, because of the grace of God. Verse 9 of Psalm 19, the fear of the Lord is clean. And the Bible says that God's not given us a spirit of fear. Now, I can remember some times in my life where I was scared to death as a little boy. I was so scared. My cousin and I, we were at our house, and we would, man, just let your minds, you know, just go where it shouldn't go and just get scared. You think somebody's in the house that's not in the house. You think every noise is somebody creeping through the house. And I had gotten myself so worked up that we locked ourselves in my bedroom. We hid under the bed with a .22 rifle. I was scared to death. I don't remember how old I was. I think I was like 9 or 10. I think I was even younger than that. I think I was 8. And just, I had worked myself up, and then there was a knock on the door, and I freaked out. I cry out, "Who is it?" It was my dad. I quickly put the gun up and, "Hey." God's not giving us a spirit of fear. Sometimes we cause things in our life to think things that really aren't true. And you think about the fear of the Lord is clean. That word fear is not, I'm scared of God. It's having reverence for God. It's understanding who God is. You know what? God is bigger than anything that I'll ever face in this world. Remember, what caused the Israelites not to go in the promised land that God brought them to? They feared the giants. They saw literal giants in the promised land, and they were scared to death. But not Joshua. Joshua wasn't afraid because he knew that his God was bigger. He knew that God had given them that land and that those giants, he said, they're bread for us. God will give them into our hands. We will defeat them. So Joshua was not afraid of the giants. He knew who was in control. He knew who was sovereign. He knew who had all power. So the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgment of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Just as John says back in 1 John chapter 5, he says, "For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous." God's word is not grievous. And there are some things in God's word that he tells us not to do, and it's for our own good. And there are some things in Scripture God tells us to do that are for our good. And we've got to make sure that, again, as you're a child of God and Christ dwells within you, again, the Spirit of God moves upon your heart and lets you know that the truth of God's Word is for your good, and you desire God's Word because God never lies. You've had people lie to you. You've had people take away your trust. You've had people do you wrong, and yet you know, reading through Scripture, God's faithful, He's gracious, He's loving to you. He never will lead you down the wrong path. In fact, He's always looking ahead of the path, guiding your steps. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. So again, as John says, you know that love makes God's commandments not grievous. The love of God in us. We know that God loves us. We love Him, and doing what God's Word says, reading God's Word is not grievous. Applying God's Word to our life is not grievous. In fact, you have experienced blessings in your life because of the Word of God. Second thing I want you to see this morning is that faith in Jesus conquers the world. Look at verse 4 and 5. Verses 4 and 5, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth Jesus is the Son of God." There are so many things in this world that can destroy lives. Again, when you go back to the very beginning in the Garden of Eden, the devil, the serpent, our adversary, did not hold Eve and Adam down and force them to eat that fruit. He simply planted a thought in their mind. He simply got them to think about, what was God really saying? What did God really mean when he said, don't eat the fruit lest you die? That's pretty simple, isn't it? Don't eat the fruit unless you die. I remember, and I try not to bring up all the examples of me, but they just come to my mind. I can remember being, I think I was like 3 or 4 years old, and my mom said, don't touch the stove. Well, that's the wrong thing to say, because what does that do? Curiosity kills the cat. And I got over there, and I didn't see anything on the stove, and I'm just real short, and I'm reaching up and touch the burner. Well, the burner wasn't cold. It was hot. So I burned my fingers. And my mom said, I told you. Think about when God says, don't eat the fruit lest you die, he meant don't eat the fruit lest you die. You go back and you look, they didn't physically die, but they spiritually died. Their relationship with God was hindered. They were cast out of that beautiful, perfect garden. God's word is so true. There are things in this life that destroys you from the inside. Bitterness, hatred, jealousy, envy. The things that we harbor, as the Bible says, in our heart, that causes us to hate people, causes us to think bad about someone that did us wrong. Think about Cain and Abel. Both Cain and Abel brought their sacrifices to God. Abel brought a sacrifice of a lamb to God, and it was pleasing to God, and he accepted his sacrifice. And the Bible says that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground to God, and God did not accept it, because that's not the sacrifice God wanted. God doesn't want the works of our hands. God wants a sacrifice that's unconditional, a sacrifice that God's the one that gave life to that lamb. Without going into all the details about a lamb sacrifice, Cain was so mad at God, he became jealous over his brother. And you know the account where Cain talks to his brother in the field, and then he kills his brother, not because his brother did anything wrong, but because his brother did something right, and because Cain didn't, Cain just couldn't get over it. Jealousy just rooted in his heart, and it bred hatred, and then it ends up, he kills his brother, commits murder. God warned him before that. If you were to go back and look at that account, God came to Cain and warned him, sin lieth at the door. He's warning Cain, I know what's in your heart. Don't allow sin to rule in your life. He said, if God even tells Cain, if you do right, won't you be accepted? God gave Cain an opportunity to make things right with God, but Cain wouldn't. Cain would not listen to the word of God. But for us, faith in Jesus Christ conquers life. It conquers the things that we'll face, whether emotional, spiritual, or physical. God gives us victory. Look at Romans chapter 5, if you would. Romans chapter 5. And look at verse number 12. Romans 5, verse number 12. Every single person faces things in life that are too big for them. Young people, middle-aged, older people, we all face things in life that are tough. And sometimes the things that we face in life, they're so big that we know we can't conquer them. And if we don't allow Christ to give us the victory, we'll allow ourselves to be crushed under those circumstances, under those difficulties. But as a child of God, as someone who has Jesus Christ in their life, he's given you and myself victory
in this world. Notice what Romans 5:12 says. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. There's not a single person that can escape death and can escape the penalty of sin without Jesus Christ. Every single person's born into this world, born with a sin nature, born with that destination of death and hell. John 20 and verse 31, Jesus says, these things are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. Understand, every person is born a sinner, every person is destined to that place called hell, which is a separation of God, but every person that puts their faith and trust in Jesus Christ at some point in their life on this earth will be saved from that destiny, and they'll have a new destiny, which is heaven, in God's presence for eternity. Romans 10, verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Simple as that. There's no explanation needed for that. No private interpretation. God simply says, if anybody will confess with their mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, shalt believe in their heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Believing on his death, burial, and resurrection, we know that if someone puts their faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone, then they are a child of God. They're born again. Their destiny is now heaven, and they can finish walking this life on this earth with the best friend that they can ever possibly have, the Son of God, Jesus Christ. But not only that, when you think about the fact, what John says back here in John 5, he says, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith in Jesus Christ. Everything we face in life, he's given us victory over it. We don't have to succumb to the lies. We don't have to allow ourselves to feel defeated. We don't have to allow ourselves to think that there's no hope. We know there's hope because our hope is in Jesus Christ. And our faith in Jesus Christ conquers anything in this life. Doesn't matter. Even as I was talking to this person, and many of us, I had to stop watching the news myself because I found myself getting mad and angry with, you know, all the garbage that the news media puts out there. And he said the same thing. He just finds himself, you know, being filled with hatred of all the things that's happening, things that are not true, things that are not right. And we talk about it. What can I do about it? I can't change what someone's doing. I can pray about it. But why allow what somebody else is doing that we know is not right affect how I live, affect my emotions, affect my heart, and cause me to become mad and angry? Again, when you think about Cain allowed the goodness of his brother Abel to cause him to become jealous and full of anger. Is there wickedness in the world? Are there people in authoritative position not living for God and not doing what's right? Yes, and there always will be until Jesus makes it all right. But why allow what someone else is doing affect how I feel? He's given me victory over that. I don't have to allow myself to be full of anger, to be full of jealousy, to be full of fear, to be full of disappointment. Again, we have an adversary that is going to try any avenue he can get into our hearts and minds to cause us to have the world's mentality, to cause us to have the world's philosophy, to cause us to have the world's feeling of no hope whatsoever. But when you think about what John says in 1 John chapter 5, he's given us the victory. God's given us the victory. In verse 5, who is he that overcometh the world? Who is he that overcomes everything this world throws at them? He that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. If I have victory through Jesus Christ for eternal life, then what is it in this world he's not going to give me victory over? What is it I'm going to face in life that he cannot give me victory over? There's many things. I mean, there are young people that feel like they're not loved. They feel like life is not worth living. There are middle-aged people that seemingly will get to a midlife crisis and think they have to change their lifestyle in order to be happy, in order to find their youth. There are older people that get to a place in their life with health issues. They feel like, you know, why do I need to keep suffering this way? Every stage of life, Jesus gives us the victory to be able to go through those stages of life, to be able to go through life, whatever life throws our way. We cannot give up on Christ, who never gave up on us. He gives us the victory. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? And again, the greatest victory that he can give and has given is life through Jesus Christ, the gift of salvation. Again, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Look at verse 6 and 7 of 1 John chapter 5. Again, when someone says Jesus is not God, but they're saying Jesus is not God, he's not the creator, he's not the comforter, he's not the savior, he's not the redeemer, he doesn't exist. You're here all by yourself, and the choices you make in this life, are you going to help you be happy or sad, because this is all you get? I don't know about you, but I'm glad this is not all I get. I'm glad that there is something more to life than just getting up every morning, going to a job, working, paying bills, trying to raise a family, trying to do what's right. I'm glad there's more to it. I'm glad that there is somebody who has given us this life that has meaning and purpose, and somebody who loves us more than anything, somebody who guides our steps every day, someone who gives us the very breath in our lungs to be able to live. What an amazing God we have. But in verse 6 and 7, I want us to see that Jesus is God indeed. Again, when someone just makes the statement, Jesus isn't God, you can, like I shared with this one person, you go to 1 John chapter 5 and it just explains it all, just very simple, very simple. This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ. Not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. These three are one. The Word being Jesus Christ. He is the spoken Word. He is the one that spoke the worlds into existence. He's the voice of God. He's the express image of God. He is God. Can we completely understand with our minds, our human minds, exactly how that is? No. But through Scripture, we can see by faith. Look at First John. Look at Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, these verses you know, but I want you to look at them again. I mean, if anything else, the message this morning is about defending your faith. It's about defending your faith in Jesus Christ. Genesis 1:1, the Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Nobody else in the beginning but God. No Big Bang theory, no evolution, but God. And you read on, and God speaks things into existence. But look down at verse 26. So Genesis chapter 1:1, we know in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. And 26, after everything was spoken into existence, the sun, the moon, the stars, after the animals, the plants, everything, verse 26, and God said, let us make man in our image. Let us make man in our image. Well, who's us? Go on, if you would, to John chapter 1. Again, these are verses I know that you know, but just looking at the Word of God. In Deuteronomy, the Bible says the secret things belong unto the Lord, but the things that He has revealed belong unto us and our children. God hasn't revealed everything about Him. Again, He's a spirit. What does He look like? Even Jesus said He's a spirit. Those that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth. And you understand when somebody is saying that Jesus is not God, that there is no God, that there's no life after death, it's not true. God specifically tells us where life began. But He said, let us make man in our image. In John chapter 1 and verse 1, in the beginning, speaking of the beginning of creation, back in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Without Him. That Him being Jesus Christ being the Word. You read on. Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 30, I and my Father are one. I and my Father are one. Jesus is indeed God. Look at Colossians, if you would, Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 15. Colossians chapter 1, verse 15 and 16. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? You know what? Let's back up here. Where I want to start. No, look at verse number 2. We'll start all the way at the beginning. Verse number 2. To the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard of, or ye heard before, in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you, since the day ye heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth, as ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Speaking of Jesus Christ, we have redemption because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ, forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. So there, when Jesus walked on this earth, people saw God. Emmanuel, God with us. Those disciples walked with God for 3.5 years. Jesus Christ being God, for by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible, invisible, whether there be thrones, dominions, principalities, or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. Again, Jesus Christ being the Word. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. Jesus Christ indeed is God. You know that, I know that. Can you defend your faith when someone tries to say, Jesus is not God, there is no God? Now again, you may still defend your faith, you may still show scripture, you may still tell somebody, and they may still say, I still don't believe. It's not up to us to change their heart. Only God can do that. Only God can reveal to their heart the truth. But we still need to be able to defend our faith and still be able to know that, yes, Jesus is God. And it does matter. He was not just a man, but he was God in the flesh, reconciling the world unto himself, as the scriptures tell us. Now go back, if you would, the last three verses here. 1 John chapter 5, look at verses 8 through 10. Verses 8 through 10 assures a person of their salvation. Again, as I was talking to this person, he said, I know in my heart Jesus is God. Remember what Philip went into the desert because the Holy Spirit told him to, and the Holy Spirit told him to go join yourself to this chariot that was passing by, and Philip ran himself. It was an Ethiopian eunuch. As he got to the chariot, he heard the man reading from Scripture, reading the book of Isaiah, and he asked the Ethiopian eunuch, you know, if he understood what he was reading. He said, how can I except some man show me, someone tell me what it is? Because the Ethiopian eunuch said, ask Philip, tell me, you know, who is it talking about? Is the prophet talking about himself or some other man? You know, and then he preached Jesus Christ to the man. And he asked the man, as they came to a body of water, the Ethiopian eunuch says, well, what hinders me from being baptized? Here's some water. What would keep me from being baptized? He said, if thou believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He said, I believe. Because it's in the heart. Now, I made a statement one time, and this person brought it up, because I said I could vividly remember where I was the night I called upon Christ to be my Savior. I kind of remember the events that were happening. I don't remember the date or the time. And he said, you know what? I don't remember the date or the day that I did, but I know in my heart I'm saved. I said, that's what matters. You know without a shadow of doubt that you've called upon Jesus Christ as your Savior. It doesn't matter if you remember the date or time. Some people do. I've known people to name the day, the month, the time, what they were wearing, where they, and some people have memories like that. They have photographic memories. They can remember details. I can't remember details like that. I can barely remember what I did yesterday. But knowing in your heart, I know I'm saved, I know I'm a child of God, I know heaven is my home. And you can't convince me otherwise. And I told the person that nobody could ever convince me otherwise. I know that I'm saved, and the Bible even tells me. Look at verses 8 through 10. Because, again, as another person said, well, I'll find out if there's a God or not after I die. Now, you can know right now. You don't have to wait. And then there are those, unfortunately, that believe that there is no God, that this is it. And you can't believe anything else. But God, again, if God's the creator of the heaven and the earth, if God's the giver of life, and God sent his only Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for the sins of mankind, so that we could have eternity with him if we would put our faith and trust in him. How simple is that? Just believing that Jesus died for me. He paid my sin debt. For some, it's hard to believe, but that's faith. And these verses 8 through 10 give us our hope and our assurance in Jesus Christ And also, not that we're to go around and we're supposed, not that we're to go around and say who's saved and who's not. God knows who is and who isn't. But the Bible also tells us by their fruit ye shall know them. You'll know them by their fruit. Again, if someone says Jesus is not God, well, you know in your heart that's not right. You know according to Scripture it's not right. And verse 8 says, and there are three that bear witness in the earth, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, the water and the blood, and these three agree in one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God which he hath testified of his Son. Verse 10, he that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. That speaks of the Holy Spirit. You've been sealed by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit of God dwells within every believer. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. God gives a clear record of his Son, right? John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Why? So that our sins would be paid for, so that the blood that is shed at Calvary would pay for our sins. He says, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son, verse 11, and this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. As that old saying goes, believe it or not. Now, if you guys remember that show a long time ago, Ripley's Believe It or Not. I'm promoting it, but just that phrase, believe it or not. The title of my message this morning is All of His or None of His. All of His or None of His. God clearly tells us, and anybody that wants to know, how can you have assurance of salvation? How can you know that you're on your way to heaven? By having Jesus Christ, believing upon Jesus Christ. And again, Scripture, many more verses declare Jesus Christ being God himself. But Jesus Christ, there's none other name given among men whereby we must be saved. It's Jesus Christ. Again, I know you know this. But again, we're living in dark days. We're living among a society that doesn't want to believe in Jesus Christ. We're living in an anti-God world that was created by God. The globe that we live upon was spoken into existence by God. And every single person that has ever lived on this planet was given life by God so they would come to know their Creator and come to put their faith and trust in His Son, Jesus Christ. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Jesus said, I came to give life and to give it more abundantly. I know people, you know people, that do not have Jesus Christ. They may pretend like they're happy. There are people that are religious and think that as long as they're religious, they're okay, but God simply says it's Jesus Christ. Because what can Jesus Christ do to a life? He can bring comfort, peace, meaning, value. Many people don't value themselves because of what someone's told them, because of what the culture says. But every single person has value in the eyes of God, because Jesus Christ died for every single person. So as you and I think about the meaning of these verses, you think about your life. You think about where you're headed. You think about your future. It's all because of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, who drew us unto himself, who gave us new life, who has even helped us to even faithfully follow him and trust him. There will still be people, even after hearing the truth and even looking at the Scriptures, still say, I don't believe it. That's between them and God. I can't force anybody to believe the truth. I can simply just give the truth. But what I can testify is what God's done in my life, and what you can testify is what God's done in your life. The fact is, it doesn't matter. There will still be people to say there is no God, Jesus is not God, but I agree with the person I talk to. I know within my heart that there is a God and that Jesus Christ is my Savior and my Redeemer. My life's been changed. Even though I've had struggles throughout my life, even though I've needed the Lord to help me, and I've allowed my emotions sometimes to get the best of me, yet I know I can go to a loving Heavenly Father and ask for forgiveness and ask that He help me to overcome my faults, to overcome things in my life, to overcome the wicked one. Again, when you think about just the truth of who Jesus is, you have somebody, hopefully in your life right now, if you're saved and born again, you have somebody in your life that loves you more than anything, who's given you a life to live, and the life you're living, you live it by the grace of God. He gives you the grace every morning. He sheds His love upon you every day. His mercies are new every morning. What an amazing God we serve. Don't allow the society, don't allow culture to convince you that your God is dead. My God is still alive. He's never died. You can't take His life. Even on the cross, it said of Jesus, Jesus gave up the ghost. It wasn't taken from Him because He's the giver of life. He is God. He gave up the ghost. He allowed Himself, He allowed that body that He lived in for 3.5 years, that shell of a body, He allowed Himself, He allowed that body to be tortured and crucified and laid in an empty tomb to show His power to the world and to the generations to come. No man can revive himself. No man can bring life back into his dead body. But Jesus Christ can, because He's God. And He did just that. So I want you and me to remember that we serve a God who has all power. Don't allow yourself to ever think that God doesn't care, God doesn't love, God's not interested in me and my life. Oh, yes, He is. If He wasn't, He would not have sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross for you or for me. Go ahead and stand if you would. We'll close with a word of prayer. Father, we do thank You.